I was stressing over, you know, how we're going to do music and so forth and so on, because the plan I thought I had sort of fell apart because of this, a little bit of miscommunication with the other people that I had lined up to come. But God brought it all together. And I believe everything that happens and everything goes on is for a plan and for a reason. And I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in happenstance. So everything about this service this morning, from beginning to end, I choose to accept as the divine will and purpose of God. He planned this day, He designed this day, and He knows what every one of us in this room need in this hour. I believe that. So you're not here by coincidence, and neither am I. Jeff and Mary are not here by coincidence doing ministry today. I just thought I was, thank the Lord for Facebook. Sometimes it's aggravation and it can be a nuisance. But I'm just looking and I saw something, a post that Mary had put up on Facebook, and I thought, there's a drummer, I think. So I sent Mary a message. Does Jeff drum? He does. Can you all come Sunday? Because I know they're working in their home church as well, but God worked it out. Ordinance. I believe a plan. So God has a plan for you today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter number 2. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. I hope we have that in the media. If not, okay, do we? Okay. Ruth chapter 2, reading from the Amplified Verse of Scripture. Let me say I appreciate Carrie doing piano. Nathan has done drums. Greg has been electric guitar player. Last minute, we just decided, I just said, can I play one of those? So we all just improvised this morning, okay? And sometimes it's good to get out. Miss Elaine come in and did a soprano part. But God's working, bringing a plan together. Thanks to you for what you've done this morning. Ruth chapter 2. I want to read verses numbers 14 through 17 in the Amplified wording. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the sour wine mixed with oil." And she sat beside the reapers, and he passed her some parched grain, and she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left for Naomi, her mother-in-law. And when she got up to glean, Boaz ordered his young men, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, but do not reproach her." And let me explain to you what that means. He's saying, let her glean in places that she shouldn't be gleaning. Now understand gleaning, she's coming in at this point and she's basically picking up she's cleaning up, okay? She's cleaning up. Her and the other, probably many other widows and poor people are there. They're cleaning up behind the harvesters, okay? He says, don't reproach her. Don't you rebuke her. Even though she is going to actually go into places she probably otherwise would not be allowed to go. But listen to verse number 16. "And let fall some handfuls Let fall some handfuls for her own purpose, and let them lie there for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your ministry and the service. God, let your anointing be added to this part as we break your bread, the word of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Zach, if you can take this down just a little bit, I feel like I'm coming back awful loud. Okay, in the house. Thank you, sir. So in the account of Ruth and Naomi, we find two ladies. Ruth, a daughter-in-law. Of course, Naomi, the mother-in-law. We find two ladies. Many of you probably, no doubt, have heard the story and are familiar with it. They've suffered tremendous loss in the land of Moab. They went there. Their husbands have died. They are left widowed women, with seemingly nothing to turn to. Under the law of the time, a near kinsman to their deceased husbands would take on the responsibilities of taking care of them. But in all of their tragedy, in all of their loss, I want you to know that Jehovah God had a plan for them. Jehovah Jireh, their provider. And in the plan, they would come back to the near area of Jerusalem. And as they would come back there, they would find themselves in the presence of Boaz, if you would, a soon-to-be-found near kinsman. I want you to know this morning that life never ceases to offer us a lot of ebbs and flows. Life has its ups and downs. If you didn't know that by now, I've just told you. We all understand that. We all know that. It's not a secret. Life has its emotional swings, its emotional turns. We're up and down. Sometimes it's even topsy-turvy, as we say. But either we find ourselves in a position of need, or we find ourselves being that person that is filling the needs of someone else. It's sort of like there's no in-between. It's like either we're needing somebody to help us or somebody's needing us to help them. Sometimes we find ourselves filling both roles at one time. Sometimes we need somebody to bless us while somebody else is needing us to bless them. We find in this message a story, an account. When I say story, I'm hesitant to use that word because sometimes that seems fictitious to us. Now, when I was growing up, my mama wasn't a believer, but she was pretty strict on us. There are certain things you didn't say. Number one, you didn't call somebody a liar, especially an adult. I don't know, you younger ones, y'all don't know what lye soap is, but I do. I have tasted it and seen that it is not good, okay? My mom would wash my sister's mouth out with lye soap. So we didn't call people liars, and we didn't call them there's other particular things, words that we didn't use, okay? But when we read this, my mama says, you don't call people liars. You don't say somebody told a lie. You say they told a story. Okay? Now, as I've grown older, I don't, no disrespect to my mom, but I a lie is a lie is a lie, okay? But the truth of the matter is, this is not just some story. It's an actual account of something that happened. And I hope this word this morning is going to sharpen your spiritual senses, that you and I, we may fill the appropriate role at the appropriate time. And every single one of us have that before us. There is an appropriate role that we need to fulfill at the appropriate time. Sometimes we need to be the recipient. Sometimes we need to be the distributor or the giver, if you would. But what I want to preach to you this morning is practicing five steps, if you would, or five means of intentional random acts of kindness. Five intentional random acts of kindness. Some of them are spoken within that phrase itself. The first one is being intentional. I've saw bumper stickers, and I like reading bumper stickers. Some of them's not too good to read, but some of them I find very interesting. I've never been a person to put bumper stickers on my car. Now, I remember, for us, a family vacation back in my day, the family vacation was going to Tweetsie Railroad. Now, today it's a Saturday drive for us. For us, Tweetsie Railroad was a summer vacation. And I can remember you go to Tweed Sea Railroad, and we used to drag on up through Maggie Valley up there to where it was at Santa Land or something like that they used to call it. And this is back when we had a 62 Chevrolet, big chrome bumper right on the front of it. You know, cars don't even have bumpers on them anymore, hardly. I like big chrome bumpers. My dad did too. And I remember we come out and have Tweed Sea Railroad, and there was a big bright orange and blue bumper sticker stuck to the front bumper of that 62 Chevrolet. It's in my blood. And it said, "Visit Santa Land." My dad, he's usually pretty calm. He had a spasmodic fit. Somebody had stuck a bumper sticker on the chrome bumper of his 62 Chevrolet, and he didn't like it. I don't care that much for bumper stickers on my own car, but I like reading them on others. But I did stick one of those little stickers on the back of my Cube, since it doesn't really have a bumper. I put it on the glass that advertises Voice of Praise Worship Center. If you want one of those, we will put one in your hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But I've read bumper stickers that says, "Practice random acts of kindness." But the truth of the matter is, kindness isn't usually random. And kindness, sometimes, yeah, it just rises up. But a lot of times, you and I have to push ourselves to kindness. Now, that person that you work with or whatever that just bought you lunch, it's easy to be nice to them. That person that just complimented your children, how great they play sports or play music or whatever it is they do, it's easy to be kind to them. It's easy to be kind to those people that have just blessed you. But sometimes there are people that it's harder to be kind to than others. Some of them you are related to. Amen. Some of them are perfect strangers to you. But kindness isn't just random. But it's not irrational either. Actually, kindness has to be very intentionally motivated. It has to be motivated and it has to be intentional to meet the needs of people. And when we as believers have to or should practice random acts of kindness, it's all in an effort that God may be glorified. Are there people that don't deserve our kindness sometimes? Absolutely, in the whole philosophy of merits. There's people that don't deserve your kindness or my kindness. There's people that doesn't even deserve the kindness of God. But understand, it's an intentional work of grace, where we bless people that we don't feel like deserve it. And along that line, it brings us to point number two. These intentional random acts of kindness actually are unattached. They should not be hinged on any other circumstances, like the one I've just described to you, where somebody just was good to me, so I'll be good to you. You scratch your back, I scratch your back, you scratch mine type philosophy. Sometimes we need to realize that we just need to be people, empathetic people, not sympathetic, but empathetic people. God's kindness at work, Hebrews 4:15 says that Jesus can sympathize with us in our troubles because he was tempted in every way, just like we are, and without sin. Many times there are people that you and I run into that have found themselves caught up in something that maybe you and I was tempted with, but we didn't fall to that temptation. They deserve our kindness. They're worthy. Maybe not deserving in their deeds, maybe not deserving in what they've done, but yet, because we are people of grace, because we are Jesus followers, Jesus loved you and loved me, still loves you and still loves me before you were lovable. And I want you to know this, that even though if you're in this room and you are in right relationship, you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I've got news for you and me. We're still not always lovable. Sometimes you and I are frustrating and aggravating to God. We see pictures of God with white flowing hair. I understand why it's white. I wonder how he still got the flowing hair. Because if I was tolerating you and me, I would have probably already pulled mine out. Don't laugh, I got hair, it's just somewhere else. Okay? So our kindness and our love that we're distributing to people is not, it's unattached to anything else. It's grace. It's a grace love. It's an agape love. It's a kindness and a love that goes beyond faults and fallacies and failures. Is it always easy? Can we do it on our own? No, we can't. That's why we need God to help us. So it's a divine kindness. It is like God, come fill my shoes and allow, and you love through me. You see, if I want to show God's kindness to others, I have to be willing to walk in their shoes from time to time. In order for me to show grace to somebody else, maybe I need to walk in their shoes. Don't you just love those people, and I don't mean to cast stone if you're here and you don't have, but don't you moms and dads and grandmas and grandpa, don't you just love those people that never have any kids that always can give you direction to, you know what I'm going to say. I can tell you how to raise your kids. How many did you have? Well, I didn't have any, but I can tell you how to raise your 7. But we never really understand and we never really know a situation until we have walked in that other person's shoes. I've been through things and people have come up, and I can remember one experience in my life. I remember a lady coming up when my first wife passed away. A lady came through the line at the wake, and she come up and she said, "Brother Taylor, I am just praying for you. I know the hurt that you're feeling. I lost my little puppy dog just 2 weeks ago. My wife has died. My wife has died. Bless God, your puppy, you'll buy another one in 6 weeks." But until we walk in somebody else's shoes, we really can't feel what they're feeling. The only thing that we can do if we've never walked in their shoes is say, "God, give me the grace to show them the kindness and the love that they need in this hour and what they're going through so I can bless their lives." And I hope that you don't have to go through what I've been through. And I hope that I don't have to go through what you've been through to know your hurt and to know your pain. But God, give me an unattached kindness that comes through your love, mercy, and grace to love other people. Thirdly, this kindness must be innovative. Intentional, random acts of kindness must be innovative. You know, we're spiritual beings. Did you know that? We're spiritual beings. Not like angels, but we're spiritual beings. There is an eternal part of us. There is within us, there is a spirit. Our spirits live on. The bodies, remember, I preach many funerals. Body goes back to the dust. The spirit goes to be with God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're spiritual beings. There is a spiritual part of us. And we sometimes get so spiritual that we become unspiritual. Sometimes we'll just say, "Well, my neighbor down the road, they're starving to death. I know they haven't had anything to eat in 3 days. If the Lord speaks to my heart, I think I'll fix them something to eat and take it down there to them." He put a head on our shoulders for a reason. He put that thought in your mind for a purpose. He put some common sense there. If your neighbor down the road is starving and hasn't eaten 3 days, don't wait on a move of Holy Ghost to feed them. You might die before you hear that. They might die before you hear that. You know they're in need. You know there is a problem. You know they need somebody to distribute the love of God to them. Distribute it while you can. Sometimes we just over-spiritualize some things. And in that, what I'm saying to you is this. We have to be innovative in our distribution of love and kindness unto those that we are around. John Wesley, some 250 years ago, said this. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways that you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. That's a lot of cans. Okay? But the reality of it is, we should practice showing love and kindness and blessing people in every way. We love the unlovable. We love the ones that don't deserve love, just like Jesus loved us. So these acts of kindness, they should be innovative. God, show me how to love somebody today. I don't have much love in me. I ain't feeling like distributing no love when I get up on Monday morning. But God, I need you to give me something that I don't have and help me to love in situations that don't deserve love. Intentional, random acts of kindness, being innovative. The fourth one is selfless. Selfless. Selfless is somewhat the opposite of selfishness. You see, kindness in the absence of selfish is the absence of selfishness. Kindness is the absence of selfishness. Kindness says that I care about the needs of others than I do myself. Now, there's a verse of scripture that teaches us one of the commandments with a promise is this, or the most important, as we say, of the commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. You know why a lot of people have a problem loving their neighbor? They don't love their self. If we don't love ourselves, now that's not speaking of a vain love, but if we don't love ourselves, we're going to struggle with loving our neighbor. But if we can come to love God and love ourselves as temples of the Holy Spirit that we are, then we will learn to love people. Sometimes, some people, I admit, some people you have to love at arm's length. Some people you have to love at arm's length. Others that you can embrace. But yet, we love people and we show them kindness and we bless their life. Kindness will care more about others than for yourself. Sometimes we have to put aside our feelings to love somebody else. Sometimes we have to put aside our feelings about somebody else to love them. Hello. Kindness will look beyond, in its selflessness, kindness will look beyond faults and failures of others and will see their needs. You know, we used to sing that old song, He looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. And then we will strive to meet that need. We'll strive to minister or to bless that person. Kindness actively seeks to do good. In the process of loving somebody else. Selfless kindness. Kind to the unkind. Gentle to those who are harsh. And is even kind to the unsympathetic. There's people that I know. There's people that you know. Everybody doesn't treat me like I want to be treated. Everybody doesn't treat you like you want to be treated. There's people, pardon me, forgive me as your pastor, but there's people that in my carnal thinking, I don't want to be nice to. There's people that I don't want to be kind to. There's people that I don't like their ways. I don't like their doings. I don't like the way they treat me. I don't like the way they treat my family. But you know what? God calls me to be kind to those people. And even though I can't do it within myself, there's something about the Holy Spirit, there's something about the love of God that can cause us to go beyond our carnal, fleshly thinking and cause us to react like Jesus did. Forgive them, Father, for they don't even know what they're doing. You see, that's a love of God that we look at and we admire and we'll say, oh, how Jesus loved people. The people that even nailed him to the cross, he says to the Father, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Do you realize you and I have that same agape love available to us? It's not our natural thinking. It's not our natural methodology that we operate in. But yet God provides it to us. Kindness will forgive the most hideous of sins. It'll restore the most wayward sinner. And it will reach out and touch the most unlovely and ungodly and treat them better than they deserve. It's selfless. And fifthly, the motive of kindness is everything. The motive of kindness is everything. Because the motive of kindness is this. It's to glorify God. We can and will, when we are kind to other people, in spite of how they've treated us, in spite of how we think about them, in spite of what they've done to our family, in spite of whenever that you and I can stand up and say that in, you know, I talk about my mom all the time. She's been gone for 19 years, but my mom, you know, she was feisty as could be. She could tell you what she wanted you to know at a drop of a hat, and she'd drop the hat so she could tell you. It's just the way, you know, you knew how you stood with my mom. She used to come and pick us up after, you know, sports in high school before I got my driver's license. She'd come pick us up at wrestling practice and some of the kids wouldn't have a ride home. I'd say, oh, my mom would take you home. No, we're afraid to ride you. We're afraid of that woman. You know. But you know, the truth of the matter is she would give me words of wisdom, and sometimes her words of wisdom weren't necessarily all that spiritual. But she used to tell me things like, well, what goes around comes around, son. What may be some truth in that, but it's not necessarily all that spiritual. But understand this. The motive of kindness is this. It's to glorify God. It's to glorify God. It's not about to take mud on the face. It's not about, well, I just tell you, I hate to bow down to somebody else. You don't know what they've done to me and I'm not bowing down to them. It's not about that thing at all. It's about glorifying God because it's saying the God that is in me, the Holy Ghost that lives inside of me, the Spirit of God that dwells in me can go beyond my natural ability and my thinking and my attitude and cause me to love people that are even unlovable. And in that, I glorify God. And let me tell you, I'll tell you a pastoral story. A number of years ago, and everybody, regardless of what you think, and as lovable as I am, everybody don't always love the pastor, okay? Stephan, it's just the way it is. There was some of the congregation that wasn't in love with me at that moment, at that season. And I knew that. They wouldn't talk. They wouldn't speak. They left the church. This is real. It's not the church assembly. It's not utopia. It happens. But one night at 3:00 in the morning, my phone rang. I answered the phone, and it was the mom of that family on the phone. And mom said, "I need you to pray." Okay, I saw the idea. I thought, what in the world are they calling? Because this has been probably a year, maybe even over a year had passed. I said, okay, I'll pray with you now over the phone. No, I need to come to your house. I said, sure. I said, we'll have the porch light on for you. 3:00 in the morning, this person that was hard for me to love says, I just called you and woke you up. Now can I get you out of bed? Because I had my phone beside the bed. I didn't get up to answer it. Can you get up out of bed? Of course I had to dress and put street clothes on. I had no Smurf pajamas with the little feet in them, and I didn't want to get up looking like that with company coming. No, not really. I didn't really have the Smurf job. But I said, so at 3:00 in the morning, and that lady came, and my wife and I sat and talked with her and prayed with her till like 5 or 5:30 in the morning. Because she comes, she said, the devil is trying to destroy my home. Now, my carnal nature says, well, why don't you call the preacher at the church where you're going to now? I'm being transparent with you. That's my carnal nature. My carnal nature is saying, well, you didn't want nothing to do with me for this past month. Why don't you call somebody else? That's my carnal. But I said, you know what? Come on over, and we're going to be ready when you get here. And we sat and we prayed and we sought the Lord, and God intervened and God worked, not because we did anything, but even that relationship was healed because of kindness. You see, it's amazing what intentional random acts of kindness will do in our lives and even do in the church. So the motive of our random acts of kindness is to glorify God through a display of unmerited favor. When we do that, Jesus said this. He says, your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. When you can love those people that it's hard to love, when you can be nice to those people that are ugly and mean and rude and hateful, even spit in your face, when you do kind things to them or for them, you just keep on doing it. Because God is going to bless you for your intentional, random acts of kindness. I'm going to get all carnal on y'all right now. Brother Frankie, I want you to dim the lights. How many over 50s do we have in the congregation this morning? You ladies don't have to raise your hand. You're exempt. Oh, we got a few over 50s. Some of y'all are going to remember this guy. Some of you are not going to have any clue in the world who he is. But I want to tell you something. Greg, pay attention here, because he takes one more knockdown, tear down, hot guitar break. Okay? But I want y'all to watch this. But more important than watching it, I want you to listen to what this song says.
Close it out with a song a friend of mine wrote called Try a Little Kindness, because when you're kind and you treat people kind, you get treated in kind.
Just stop it.
Thank you, Glenn Campbell. Glenn says you got to try a little kindness. Yes, show a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. We are called to love people in spite of themselves. Did you know that? Just like God loves us in spite of ourselves. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, verses 32-36, this is what Jesus said. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So you see, Naomi and Ruth were in the right place at the right time. There was laws. There was regulation set up. They could go and they could scrape and rake through the fields and they could find what they needed. They had no infractions on their life as far as we know other than life itself. But all of a sudden they find this connection. They're at the right place at the right time. But Boaz engages in an intentional random act of kindness. Because Boaz said, I want you to drop some grain on purpose. Now, you and I, God has dropped some stuff on purpose into our life. We have to pick it up. Ruth had to pick it up. But at the same time, we can be a Boaz. And there's things that you and I can do to bless the life of somebody else. Unintentional, random acts of kindness. So big deal. Boaz drops some grain. Well, he ends up taking Ruth into his household. She's his wife, if you would. So she found redemption from the profound circumstance of her life. Big deal. So she's no longer a widow and she didn't have to go out in the fields and glean the fields and rake and scrape and dig around just to try to find enough grain to make a loaf of bread out of. Big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. Because Ruth and Boaz would conceive a child. And as Ruth and Boaz would conceive a child, that child would conceive a child. And Boaz and Ruth would become the grandparents of David. King David, if you would. And guess who follows the ancestral line of David? Jesus. 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 So from a random act of kindness. Jeff, y'all want to come back up here? I'll get you to do altar music for me. From a random act of kindness. From just saying, hey guys, I want you to drop some grain on purpose. I don't know these women. I don't know what they need. I don't even know why they're here. They're a bunch of beggarly women come out here to work in the fields. But I want you to drop some stuff on purpose for her. In And from that, we find the lineage of David that brings us to Jesus, which is the reason that you and I are sitting in this building this morning. Amen? So when we are distributing our random acts of kindness, it could be said, without hesitation, we're distributing Jesus. We're spreading Jesus out. We're spreading Him here. We're spreading Him there. A little bit of random act of kindness over in your neighborhood. A little bit in my neighborhood down Blue Well, up Brush Creek. Wherever we're going. Wherever it is. Up Wolf Creek. All kind of creeks around here, man. We can throw some. We got plenty of creeks to throw random acts of kindness. And we can bless God, and we bless God as we bless people. And God just does some great things in our life. But this is the summary of it all. The kingdom of God is expanded. The kingdom of God is expanded. Jesus says, not only shall these things shall you do, but even greater works. The kingdom of God is expanded. So you never know how your random act of kindness will play out. I have a feeling Boaz had no idea when he dropped those hands full of purpose and he was blessing this young girl, Ruth, this young widow. He had no idea that in the lineage of his bloodline there would be a man, Jesus, conceived of the Holy Ghost, that would come to save the world. So you and I, we never know. We never know where that random act, intentional random act of kindness may end up. So, from my standpoint, I don't want to be robbed. I don't want to miss out on anything that God has for me. And I hope you don't either. So, I want to practice those intentional, random acts of kindness every opportunity that I can. Now, am I trying to invoke or buy God's blessing? No, that's not the point. But the point is, I want to love like Jesus loved. I want to love the unlovable. I want to go where the lepers are at. I want to go where the filthy and the, I want to go up to the Gentiles' house. I'm talking to the Christians right now in this room, the believers, the church folks. You know, statistics say that in a Barna poll from a few years back, it says once people come to know Christ and if they become assimilated into a local church, it says typically in 5 years their circle of friends outside the church nearly exhausts itself. We become clannish in the sense that we're church folks. And we do real good at blessing each other sometimes. We do pretty good at that, blessing each other. But sometimes we need to bless those that don't look so good, don't smell so good, don't act so good. Don't act like us. Intentional, random acts of kindness. Old Glenn said, if you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from seeds he sowed, and if you see your sister falling by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You got to show a little kindness. Show a little kindness. Try a little kindness. Just shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to tell you, it's going to be hard for you to do that. It's going to be hard for you to love like Jesus loved if you don't have Jesus. For those of us here this morning that we're no better than anybody else. We don't have some kind of commodity on something, but the reality of it is that even those of us that profess and we earnestly and persistently seek Jesus, we even have struggles sometimes loving like we should love. And in that, we have to remember that we are created in design. We are the body of Christ. So you may be sitting here this morning and you may not know Jesus in a personal relationship as your Lord and Savior. He paid an intentional, random act of kindness for you on the cross. Thank you for pointing out those erasers. That was so somebody didn't punch an eye out, okay? That was good though. I credit Miss Vicky for doing that. Jesus did an intentional random act of kindness for every one of us in this room by hanging on that cross. So if you're here and you're not saved, if you never don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's here for you. Ruth had to pick up the purpose that Boaz's men had dropped. But maybe you're here and you're a believer. But maybe you got some people. Maybe there's people. A group of people. Maybe there's a person that you're really struggling with. They're hard to love. And some people are hard to love. And you're really struggling with being kind to them. You're really struggling with being good to them. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's an in-law. Maybe it's an outlaw. It could be anybody. But maybe you're really struggling with them. And you need the grace of God to step into your life to help you to love them. God is here to do that. He's here to do that.